Stand with me, John 19. Boy, it's been good already this morning. We about just pray and dismiss and go to the house. We've been in church. And thank the Lord for all that He's done. If you can pray, I wish you'd pray for me right about now. John 19, in verse number 1, the Bible said, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged Him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on His head, and they put on Him a purple robe and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they smote Him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, 'Behold, I bring Him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in Him.' Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, 'Behold the man.' When the chief priests therefore and officers saw Him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify Him, crucify Him.' Pilate saith unto them, 'Take ye Him and crucify Him, for I find no fault in Him.' The Jews answered him, 'We have a law, and by our law He ought to die, because He made Himself the Son of God.' When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, 'Who art thou?' But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, 'Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?' Jesus answered, 'Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin.'" In other words, Jesus said, "Pilate, you just think you're in charge today. God is at work in this day." And can I say, God was at work that day at Calvary. And the world looks at Calvary and all the blood shed and the death of Christ. And my friend, they see it completely different. But can I say, just like every day, the Lord God of heaven was in control and He had power that day. Thank God for it. Let's pray together and bear with me. I'll give you my thought this morning. Really, I need you to pray for me this morning. Father, thank you today, Lord, for the good day, the good spirit in the house of the Lord, the good choir singing, the good special singing, the good touch of God. Lord, the good worship and praise and testimonies that have already taken place. Father, this morning we understand we stand where we dare not try to stand in our own self. God, you know the weakness and frailness and sickness in my body even in this moment. God, I ask you this morning, God, would you please give me power from on high? And God, help me to preach, Lord, like I need to preach it. God, I pray this morning the Spirit of God would be upon us and Lord, use us today. Lord, we need you, not for our glory, but Lord, for your glory, and not for our sake, but Lord, for the sake of sinners. God, I pray that, Lord, you'd preach us for the next few moments. Lord, help us today. May we see Jesus and Jesus only. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. The passage before us is consumed with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We know in studying John 19, this is a blessed chapter where the Lord is going to shed His blood for the remission of our sin, and He's going to lay down His life and give up the ghost and my friend die on behalf of men. And thank God that ain't the end of the story. We know 3 days later He got up out of the grave, and that he that was dead is alive, and is alive forevermore. In the verses we've read this morning, I want to draw your attention to several things and kind of work my way down into the thought I want to give you this morning. When I study this passage of Scripture, I see the cruelty toward Jesus. The Bible said in John 19, in verse number 1, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged Him." The Bible said that the soldiers then took Jesus out and planted a crown of thorns and put it on His head. The Bible said in verse number 3, they smote it with their hands. We find at Calvary, at my friend Calvary, was no picnic for the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, there He is scourged, He's beaten, He's crowned with thorns, He's smitten in the head with a reed. We find that He's got a cross on His back.
And that friend, they drive nails in his hands and in his feet. And that friend, that day was filled with cruelty toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Said, I'm glad this morning he went through all of that. The Bible speaks of, and we'll even see it here in a moment, of the suffering of his death. All the suffering that the Lord went through, that crowd that day put the Lord Jesus through, the cruelty toward Jesus, amen, was unlike any cruelty you and I could face today. Amen, the Lord, the innocent, the one that Pilate even said, I find no fault in it. My friend, they went out and without mercy they beat up. Without compassion they smote it. My friend, without any regard for his life and what he was faced with that day. My friend, they beat him to a bloody pulp. They did everything they could to make sure that at the suffering and the cruelty they put him through that day. My friend, was intense as they could make it. We see the cruelty toward Jesus. You'll notice in verse number 3, the criticism for Jesus as they put a crown of thorns on his head. The Bible said that, my friend, they put a purple robe upon his body and they let him out and they began to bow down. And here's what they said. They said, Hail, King of the Jews. In fact, they sent a message and hung it above his cross. And said, This is the King of the Jews. And what they was doing, they was mocking him. And my friend, scorning him and criticizing him for the claims that Jesus made being the Son of God. I'm glad this morning we know that he's King. He's not just King of the Jews, but he's the King of all. All power's been given unto him in heaven and in earth. And my friend, we know that today. That day at Calvary, they mocked him and they ridiculed him. Amen. You wouldn't have put up with it. Amen. And I wouldn't have put up with it. But at Calvary, the Lord stood there in silence and stood there, my friend, and allowed that crowd to scorn and to ridicule and to criticize him for, amen, what they didn't like in him. Let me say this today. They see not only the cruelty and the criticism, but we see the confession about Jesus. Notice what Pilate said in verse 4, Therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. And can I say today, that is the confession, amen, a true confession of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no fault in him, and Pilate couldn't find fault in him, for there was none to be found. I'm glad today the Lord never, my friend, done wrong. He never sinned. He never said something he shouldn't have said. He never went anywhere he shouldn't have went. He never had an attitude he should have never had. Amen. They examined him up and they examined him down. They examined him inside and out. And Pilate, I come to that crowd that day, Brother Gerald, and said, I want you to know that I found no fault in him. Thank God there is no fault in him. He is the Lord, and beside him there is none other. Amen. You say you really believe Jesus lived 33 and a half years and never sinned. I believe that. The devil tempted him and he overcame temptation. He's a high priest and his touch and the feeling of our infirmities, yet without sin. Everything he faced in wrath. Everything he went through, he did in the will of God. Every action and every reaction. And friend, there was no fault in him. Thank God for the confession we read here. But notice in verse 6, I see the cries against Jesus. Amen. Pilate leads him out and says to them in verse 5, Behold the man. The Bible said, When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! You'll study the other accounts in this passage yet, and the rest of the scene of Calvary, you'll find that Pilate even tried to barter with that crowd. and get Jesus out of being crucified. He brought the meanest sinner of that day that was due to be crucified. Amen. A man by the name of Barabbas, and brought Barabbas out there and said, I'll exchange. Listen, I can let one go. Who would you rather crucify today, Barabbas or Jesus? And that crowd said, give us Jesus and crucify him. And crowd had such hatred toward the Lord. And my friend, they had such indignation against him. And my friend, they wanted him put to death that day. All in the plan of God, all in the will of God. In fact, as we read this morning, Pilate said, are you not going to answer me any word? Do you not know that I have the power to let you go or to crucify you? Amen. Jesus said, you think you're in charge, but you're not in charge. I was sent into this world for this cause and this reason. And when the Lord could have got out of it, he didn't get out of it. And that day the crash against him was in the will of God, and Jesus laid down his life for us all. I'm interested this morning, though, in these verses we've read. Verse number 2 said that these Roman soldiers took the Lord and Brother Gerald, they plaited a crown of thorns upon his head. The Bible said down in verse number 5 that even as they went out and they done that and they smote him and they mocked it, they bring him back to Pilate, they still had not removed the crown of thorns. And Pilate, my friend, brings and leads the Lord out of the people, and there he stands. And the Bible said they brought him before the people wearing the crown of thorns. There's 3 occasions in the Word of God where you find that the Lord Jesus Christ wears crowns. And if you'll bear with me for a minute, I want to preach on these 3 instances on the thought this morning, the crowns of Christ. The crowns of Christ. We find in our text the first crown that the Lord wore, my friend, is the crown of mockery. The Bible said that, my friend, they took him out and planted a crown of thorns upon his head and put a purple robe upon it, and then they began to bow down and to mock him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. My friend, the crown of thorns today that the Lord wore was a crown of mockery. And we began to consider this, and the scene of the mocking of the Lord is the King of the Jews. I see my friend, a man there. I see the Son of God there. My friend, wearing the crown of thorns. It speaks and reveals several things to you and that. Amen. This morning, the first crown, the crown of mockery, it speaks to you and I the sin that Christ bore. Amen. When you begin to study thorns in the Word of God, you'll find that when God originally created this earth, that there wasn't a thorn one anywhere. There wasn't a briar. There wasn't a prick. My friend, God put man in the Garden of Eden, and man disobeyed God, and my friend went away from God and chose to please himself rather than obey the Lord. And in doing so, Adam sinned. In Genesis chapter number 3, when God comes to man and gives man the curse, he said, I'm going to curse the ground. He said, there's going to be thorns that are going to spring up. There's going to be briars that are grow with, and you'll work by the sweat of your brow with, trying to deal with them briars and them thorns. Them thorns represent a sin that man pledged himself into. And I say, when Christ showed up in Calvary and they planted a crown of thorns upon his head, it testifies to you and that this morning that Christ in Calvary, amen, was bearing our sin dead. Amen, that's what Calvary was all about. Calvary wasn't just about a crown that was upset. Calvary wasn't about a bunch of mean Roman soldiers. Calvary was about a sin that Christ went bare. That's what he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Bitterness of all that. Amen. All the sin dead and the sin low. And my friend, when you see by faith and in this passage, Lord Jesus Christ standing there, the with a crown of thorns and testifies and reveals the sin that he bore. I'm glad that he bore my sin death. I'm glad that he bore the sin death. That's what John the Baptist said 3.5 years earlier of John 19 when he showed up in the River Jordan. And John the Baptist seen the Lord walking the banks and said, "Behold, a Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Our brother Will that day at Calvary to take it away. He had to bury it. He had to bury it in his own body. Ain't God, my friend, the crown of mockery and thorns. It speaks to you and I the sin that he bore. Let me say this. It speaks to the end of the shame that Christ is faced. Amen. Can you imagine the suffering? Amen. The shame of standing there. He's been stripped down naked. Amen. He's all he has upon his body. And this moment in time is a crown of thorns and a purple robe. My friend, Hebrews 12 and verse number 2 said, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame." Amen. Oh, the shame to stand there, amen, as a lamb with the thorns in your head, amen, and not opening your mouth, and being slaughtered that day. My friend, the shame that he despised was the shame of sin. It's the same shame, my friend, and condemnation, amen, that he bore that day as bearing our sin. He not only bore our sin, but he took upon him the shame of sin and exposed, my friend, himself on that day, standing there at the crown of thorns. There's the shame he despised. Then there's the suffering he endured. Can you imagine having thorns pierce your brow? I see as them Roman soldiers, listen, these are not, amen, it'd be painful enough if it was little briars, if it was, amen, some type of, amen, reed of briars, and they just kind of scratched the, amen, the surface of his skin. But these Middle Eastern thorns, my friend, were long, and my friend, piercing it, and they claimed that, my friend, they'd have even an agitated poison in it, and my friend would burn it and bring on even more agony. And them Roman soldiers that day, my friend, they began to fashion. They said, "He says he's a king. I will treat him like a king. He's got to have a crown." And Charlie Am, what they did that day, amen, was go out there and grab them long Middle Eastern thorns and fashion that thing down. And they didn't, I don't care what you said on these pictures and paintings, they didn't just kind of lightly set it up there, Brother Dean. Oh no, they said, the Bible said, they planted a crown of thorns on his head. That is, they literally drove it in. I can imagine, my friend, as a thorn pierces his skin, amen, and scrapes off the side of his skull. My friend, I can imagine, my friend, the blood begins to run down. A sweat of the heat of the day begins to pour out out of them open wounds and the burning sensation. Amen. I mean, you're looking at a man that, my friend, is suffering in that moment and suffering in that hour. Amen. You ever had a briar get up under your skin? How agitated and how it burns. And my friend, you'll do anything to get it out. The Lord that day couldn't get it out. He couldn't get away from the suffering. He couldn't get away from the bloodshed of wearing the crown of mockery. I'm telling you today, thank God for a Savior that was willing to go through all of that. That was willing to face all of that. All the suffering and all the pain and all the agony. And came from wearing the crown of mockery. Notice with me this morning, it deals with and reveals to you and I the submission that Christ reflected. Amen. Not one time do we read in John 19 where he ever tried to remove the crown of thorns. He wore it in submission with all the pain and all the agony. He is submitted to the plan of God. The plan of God for man's redemption, amen, was the crown of thorns. He had to wear it, my friend, to be in submission to the will of God. He had to wear it that day faith in order to obtain an eternal inheritance for you and for me. And I say Calvary's no afterthought. Amen. The blood shed that day in the crown of thorns, my friend, was not an accident. It was not an oversight. It was not, my friend, a happenstance. Amen. Christ wore it, and he wore it on purpose, and he never tried to escape it, and he never tried to get out of it. And my friend, he may fulfill the plan and the will of God that day. The crown of mockery, notice it's with me, it's given him by sinners. You say, preacher, who's responsible for plaiting the crown of thorns? You say, this morning it had to be the soldiers, my friend. They are but the human instrument. But can I say today that the crown of mockery is given to the Lord by each and every man, woman, boy, and girl that's ever lived? Amen. It's a crown that is given him by sinners. Amen. He's there in our stead. Amen. It's as if you and I was there that day. Brother Gerald, and we fashioned that crown and we planted it upon his head and we bowed down and mocked him. You say, oh, I would never treat the Lord that way. In our sin nature, every one of us on that day would have turned our back and made sure that the Lord of glory was mocked and wore the crown of thorns. The curse that the thorns represent, our friend, testified about the fallen nature of man, the sin nature of man. And there's none good and there's none righteous. Our friend, there's none that understandeth and seeketh after God. And the crown of mockery, my friend, is given the Lord by a bunch of hell-bound, hell-deserving sinners. Amen, I am one of them. Are you listening? Amen, I was a hell-bound. I am a hell-deserving sinner. Thank God he went to Calvary. Amen. And he took the crown of thorns. Amen. That ought to have been on my head. And ought to have been on Barabbas' head. And they was laid on his head. Amen. That he might bring salvation to you and I. Thank God for Calvary. People look at Calvary and, my friend, they get grossed out by the bloodshed and they get upset at the scene that is there. But without Calvary today, there is no salvation. No wonder Paul said, God forbid that I should glory saving the cross of the Lord Jesus. Amen. It ain't about me and it ain't about the works I could do. It ain't, my friend, about me being baptized. It ain't about me joining the church. Amen. It ain't about me trying to be religious today. It ain't about my good outweighing my bad. It ain't about me stopping smoking. And my friend, it's about an old rugged cross that Christ went to and willingly let the crown of thorns and that mockery be laid upon his head and I might be born again 2,000 years later. The crown of mockery. Number two, for just a moment, the crown of ministry is laid upon the head of the Lord Jesus. If you will, go to Hebrews in chapter number 2, and you'll begin to understand in chapter number 1 that Paul magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ above angels. And in doing so, in Hebrews chapter number 1, you'll look there in chapter 2 with me in just a moment. But in chapter number 1, the Bible said, God, who in sundry times and in diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. I wish I could preach right there. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. In other words, in these last days we're living, Paul said, you've got to understand that God has magnified and made much of his Son Jesus, and he sent him into this world, the same one who was the brightness of his glory and the express person of his image, the same one, my friend, by whom he also made the world and appointed to be the heir of all things, the same one, my friend, and upholds all things by the word of his power. And my friend, when he went and purged our sins in Calvary, amen, listen, where is he right now this morning? Amen. Paul said he's on the right hand of the majesty on high. He's not in a tomb anymore. Amen. His bones are not in a grave anymore. Amen. He went and wore the crown of mockery and gave his leg and laid it down and gave up the ghost. And they put him in Joseph Arimathea's tomb. But thank God, on the third day he got up, and 40 days later he ascended, and there he is at the right hand of God. My friend, that's what separates us from the Buddhist and the Muslim. Amen. That's why we didn't walk in here this morning carrying some prayer rug, a humming, some, a bunch of, amen, we didn't come up in here riding on camels this morning. Hallelujah. We came in with the Holy Ghost on the inside. Amen. Looking up into glory of the right hand of the majesty of God on high. Amen. Old Stephen, they were stoning him in the book of Acts. Amen. And they, I mean, he's about ready to die. And Stephen looks on up into heaven. Amen. And the Bible said he saw Jesus. He said, I see Jesus. Amen. And he's standing on the right hand of the Father. Thank God today he's a living Savior. Amen. He is one. And after he went to Calvary and purged his sin, he's been exalted above all. That's what Paul taught in Philippians 2. Amen. The humiliation of Christ as he came into this world. Amen. Being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And he speaks about becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. My friend, Paul didn't end there. He said, but the Father has given him a name which is above every name, and at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. And my friend, every mouth should confess, every knee should bow, and there'll be a confession made, he is the Lord of all. When you come to Hebrews chapter 2, it is after Paul has spent the entire first chapter magnifying Christ above the angels that he said in verse 9, but we see Jesus. The verses leading into that, Paul quotes from the Old Testament in the book of Psalms, where David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? And where David in that psalm began to talk about that man in his original state, that God had made him to have dominion over all things, and that God wanted him crowned with glory and honor, and yet and put all things under his feet. And then Paul made this statement, yet we see not yet all things put under his feet. And it's a testimony, my friend, of the fall of man and what man lost when Adam sinned. We lost that dominion. We lost the glory and the honor that God had intended for man to wear. But we see Jesus. What Adam lost and what Adam plunged his soul off into, he is saying, now we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. What did he say? Crowned with glory and honor. Made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Watch this. Because he came and he wore the crown of mockery. Paul is teaching you and I that the Father has now crowned him with the glory and the honor that the Adamic race lost. It has been brought back to man through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You in Hebrews? Everybody okay? Watch this now. God, please help me. Crowned with glory and honor that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Calvary was about every man, every woman, every boy and every girl, every land, every nation, every kindred, every tongue. Our friend, it was by the grace of God that Christ tasted death for every man. And because he did so, Brother Dean, he's been crowned with glory and honor. Watch this now, the crown of ministry. Being given glory and honor testifies to the ministry that he has. In verse number 10, being the captain of our salvation. Can I say today, there is no salvation outside of the crown of ministry of intercession and Savior and Lordship that Jesus Christ wears. That's why Peter said, there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It ain't about who your preacher is. It ain't about what church you belong to. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and the crown of ministry and glory and honor. It was given Him because He wore the crown of Moncrief. He is the captain of our salvation. The fact is, the crown of mockery He tasted, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man. But my friend, men and women and boys and girls must bow to the one that wears the crown of ministry. Amen. The crown of mockery, He tasted it for you. When you bow to the crown of His ministry as being the captain of our salvation, my friend, that transaction takes effect and you're saved and brought. What did Paul say? And He might bring many sons unto glory. The crown of ministry and the glory and the honor that He wears is that as the captain of our salvation is to bring men and women and boys and girls back into what they lost in Adam, we regain in Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter number 8, look there with me, Hebrews chapter number 8. Notice with me what verse number 1 says in Hebrews 8 and in verse number 1. Watch this now. The Bible said, now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Hallelujah. What He's been dealing with is His priesthood and the Aaronic priesthood of Aaron and his sons and the Levites. And then He comes down to the Melchizedek priesthood and He comes to chapter 8 and verse number 1 and He says very emphatically, here is the sum of everything I'm teaching you. We have such an high priest. Where is He at and what is He doing? He sat down on a throne. You sit on a throne. You wear a crown. Amen. He sat down on the throne, right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. He is that. Listen, He's not only the captain of our salvation, but He's the high priest of our soul. That's the ministry that He's been given. I'm glad when I need to go to God, I don't go to the Pope. I ain't a Pope man. They voted, what, a few years ago, they's having that, and there's Baptists running around, who's the Pope going to be? I don't give a flip who the Pope is. Amen. They can vote Obama in as the Pope. It ain't going to bother me, not near a bit. Why? Because my high priest is not one of this earth. He's not one that wears some big old white hat, bless your heart, with a big gold cross on it. My high priest don't ride around in a bubble in parades. My high priest don't sit behind a curtain somewhere, a veil somewhere. My high priest has rended the veil and ripped it open and put a crown of ministry on his head. And when I need to go to God, I come through the ministry of the Lord Jesus. The crown of mockery, the crown of ministry. Number 3, the crown of many. Boy, I'm glad I'm saved. We as the children of God, my friend, await the day when the trump of God shall sound. The Bible said that dead in Christ shall rise first. That is my old dead granddaddy that I miss so dearly. One of these days he's going to get up out the ground. When the trump of God sounds, Grandpa's getting up and Grandpa's going to go be with the Lord. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Paul said, then we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we. Amen. The dead in Christ and the alive. Amen. Those living when the trump of God sounds, so shall we ever be with the Lord. We await that day. John said when he's on the Isle of Patmos, the Lord gives him the revelation of the seven churches of Asia. But in chapter number 4, John said when he got done speaking to the church, when he got done with the church, when he got done ministering to the church, when he got done dealing with the church, when he got done straightening out the church, when he got done rebuking the church, when he got done, are y'all listening to me? When he got done with the church, chapter 4, verse 1 said, John said, I heard as it were the voice of a trumpet saying, come up hither. John said, I had to turn to see the voice, and the next thing I knew, I was in glory and as in heaven, and I seen one sitting on a throne and an emerald rainbow around him. He said, I seen four and twenty elders gathered around. Amen. Them 24 elders representing the redeemed of God. Somebody said, I don't know if them elders represent of the same. My friend, you read chapter 5, and there the crowd saying, you redeemed us, God, by thy blood. They're the saved people. They are in chapter number 4. Watch this. This is a crowd that, our friend, had been birthed into the Adamic race. But thank God, Christ wore the crown of mockery, and Christ wore the crown of ministry, and their lives had been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. They lived lives where they were drunkards and fornicators and idolaters and heathens. But Jesus Christ had changed their life, shed His blood, and washed away their sin. And my friend, changed them, as Brother Tim testified a moment ago. And now, my friend, they're in heaven of no merit of their own, but by the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their lives have been so transformed that where they once used to live for the devil, they've lived lives for God. This is the crowd that has gone by the judgment seat. And my friend, by the grace of God, they were able to live lives where God rewarded them with different crowns. He said, you did well. You was a good steward. You was faithful. And I ain't got time to preach on all the crowns this morning, but there are giving of crowns there at the judgment of the saved. But in Revelation chapter number 4, John said, I seen them 24 elders take them crowns that they had, and they took them off their heads, and they took them in their hands, and they laid them down and cast them down at His feet. And when they do, they say, thou art worthy. In other words, Kenny, it ain't us that's worthy. But if we accomplish anything, Richard, in this life worthy of getting a crown from the Lord, we will turn around and say, it ain't about my worthiness, it's about the fact that you've been worthy and you've made the difference in my life. My friend, all of heaven is going to bow down and give their crowns back. Now watch this. Revelation chapter 6, the Antichrist comes riding in, trying to make himself God, trying to be in the place of Christ. He rides in on a white horse, and the Bible said he had one single crown upon his head. Son, he goes forth, he's got that bow with no arrows, and he's bringing peace, and everybody's in love with him. And then halfway through the tribulation period, he unleashes hell upon this earth. War breaks out, and my friend, it's chaos everywhere. And by the way, you don't want to be left behind for that time. If you're here and you're lost this morning, you ought to get saved, because there is wrath to come that you need to flee. While this world goes through the time known as the Great Tribulation Period, the saints of God will be in heaven round the marriage supper of the Lamb, where Christ Himself will gird Himself and He'll serve those, our friend, around that table. But my friend, after the last biscuits ate, after the last chicken legs choked down, the Lord's going to step up and He's going to say, I want everybody to follow Me. Amen. And He's going to take them down there, the stables of glory, and He's going to get on a white horse. And He's going to tell every saint of God and child of God, amen, I got a horse picked out just for you. Mount up. We're going back. My friend, He's going to lead us out down heaven. Amen. That captain of our salvation, the high priest of our soul. friend, he's gonna have on his staff a name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's going to be a rod of iron in his hand. Amen. The Bible said he's going to have a vesture dipped in blood. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said when he gets to go it, amen, his name is going to be faithful and true. And there's going to be a name written on him that no man knows save he himself. I don't know what that name's going to be, but it's so sacred. And only God can speak it. And only God knows what it is. The Bible said when he comes back in Revelation 19, there's going to be many crowns upon his head. The Antichrist, he's trying to be him, but he can't be him. He can only wear one at a time. But when the Lord comes back, best I can tell, I can't prove it, it's that it's so, but you can't prove it ain't so. Where'd he get them many crowns from? Could it have been, Brother Tony, them crowns that was given to us and given back to him, testifying to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives? He's going to wear them that day. The crown of many testifies of the grace of Jesus Christ. When we get to heaven, nobody's going to poke their chest out and stick their nose in the air. There'll be nobody, my friend, running around like an old banty rooster. You listen to me. Amen. We'll all understand in that hour and in that moment of time that we're there by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we'll give Him our crowns back as a testimony of the grace that He shed abroad in our heart. When He returns to this earth wearing a crown of thorns, it'll testify to this God-denied, Christ-rejecting world that there was grace to be had in salvation. Them crowns could testify this morning that we give back to the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the times He was there for us, all the times He's heard our prayer, all the times that He's come through, all the times that He's got us through our troubles, all the time our back was against the wall and He brought us out, all the battles we faced that resulted in the victories that He won. We'll take them crowns and lay them at His feet. Could it be that's the crowns that He's wearing when He comes back in Revelation 19, testified that He's not only gracious, but that He's good? I believe it testifies of the greatness of Jesus. The 24 elders say in Revelation 4, Thou art worthy to receive what? Riches and power and glory and honor. And they said, You've made all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Magnifying how great the Lord Jesus Christ is. And I say in that day when the Lord comes back, the Bible said there'd be a sword come out of His mouth and He would but speak, my friend, all the army. Can you imagine in the valley of Armageddon, all the armies of the world are there. Russia's there. China's there. My friend, Iraq is there. Syria's there. North Korea's there. America's there. My friend, in the tribulation period, every force of this world's going to turn on Israel and they're going to set themselves against them. And my friend, about the time they think they've got Israel whooped, that my friend, the clouds is going to peel back. And the Son of God, amen, on a white horse is going to be riding back. And you imagine turning around, amen, and turning, my friend, and see it. Amen, this one coming out of the clouds riding on a horse. Them armies, Brother Gerald, they're going to turn their tanks and their guns, amen, and they're going to begin to try to make war with Him and His saints, amen. And I'm telling you, He's going to show up, and friend, wearing many crowns, set up, amen, that kingdom upon the throne of David, His Father, amen. And there'll never be a ballot cast, there'll never be a vote made, amen. The sword that proceeds out of His mouth, He'll slay them where they stand. No hanging chads. No computer buttons to punch and mess everything up. Amen. The first time He came, they give Him a crown of thorns. Son, the next time He shows up wearing the crown of many, it'll be a crown of triumph. He'll overcome them. There'll never be a shot fired. There'll never be a bullet shot. There'll never be a take, my friend. Are you listening to me? There'll never be a grenade thrown. I'm telling you, when He shows up, it'll be triumph. It'll be such a lopsided victory. He'll just speak and they'll begin to drop, and the blood will flow out of their body, and there'll be so much blood, the Bible said, it'll flow in that valley. Amen. The horse, it'll flow, the horse's bridle. The horse to cross that valley have to swim against blood. He'll purge this earth of Satan. Hallelujah. What a day that'll be. Wearing that crown of many, He'll show up in triumph, bind the devil for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. Purge this world of sin. Purge it, my friend, of every idol. Purge it of everything that's wicked. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Every poster of Britney Spears will be ripped off the wall. Every CD of every rock star will be busted in two. Amen. Hallelujah. When He shows up wearing the crown of many, and friend, listen to me. Every honky-tonk will be shut down. Every moonshine still will be crumbled up. Amen. Budweiser will be out of business. The dope head will be out of business. A drug dealer will be out of business. Amen. Thank God. And for 1,000 years, He'll reign with the crown of many upon His head. There won't be no shacking. There won't be no needle marks up and down people's arms. Amen. There won't be nobody getting away with no kind of sin when He shows up. Can I ask you this morning, do you know Jesus Christ? The one that has wore crowns, He wears today. He wears today the crown of ministry. Because He wore the crown of mockery, we can be saved. As He wears the crown of ministry, the captain of our salvation. And when you get saved, guess what? You don't dread Armageddon. All these bunch of movies coming out producing fear in people. These end time alien zombie. God help you. If you're saved, you ain't got no business watching that. Can I preach there a minute? Goons and goblins and vampires. Bunch of demonic activities. You got no business watching that. They come up these end time. The world's been destroyed. Everybody gets scared. I ain't scared one bit. Because when this world's burning, I'll be behind the captain of my salvation. Saved, secured, hallelujah, on the winning side. The crown of mockery given Him by sinners, you and me. The crown of ministry given Him by the sovereign. The crown of many given Him the saints of God. Come through the judgment, received a few good rewards for our labor and service of Him. But we give them back. And He wears them as a testimony of His grace, His goodness, and His greatness. Here's what I want. Sister Hannah, could you come back? Sing what you sung a minute ago. Now, there's a bunch of saved folk here this morning, and I have not done this justice by any means this morning. I'm about half sick. I got sick between Sunday school and church. But I'm going to tell you something. The truth's there. And Brother Tony, I do remember the day I was drowning in a sea of sin. When I was a little old 17-year-old preacher's kid, wondering what the meaning of life is. Growed up in church my whole life, but still dying in my sin and headed to hell. My friend, 17 years of age, for the first time I seen Christ on Calvary dying for me, wearing my crown of thorns. I seen Him, the Holy Ghost, let me see through the Word of God, at His crown of ministry. He is the Savior, and without Him there is no salvation. 17 years of age, on September the 14th, 1996, 4 o'clock in the morning, I rolled out of my bed. Brother Will, I rolled out of my bed, made an altar out of the side of my bed. Daddy wasn't there, and Mama wasn't there. My brothers and sister wasn't there. Brother Raines wasn't there. There wasn't no men of God there, but I just rolled out of the bed.
said, Lord, I'm so sick of the empty feeling in my heart. I'm tired of my sin. I'm tired of the emptiness on the inside. And I clung to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and repentance, and He received me into His big family. But I ain't ever forgot what He saved me from. I ain't ever forgot how empty I was, sissy. I ain't ever forgot that. Every now and then I just got to raise my hand to Him. Say, Lord, thank You that You made the difference in my life. She's beginning to play and to sing this morning. If you're saved, the invitation is, come give Him the glory. Take off your crown of religion and your crown of what you think you are. Lay it down at His feet this morning as we're standing all over the building. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. I'm going to pray in just a second. We're standing everywhere. You don't have to come. Just stand where you are. If God leads you to come, if you want to come, get on this altar and thank God for saving you. She's going to sing again in just a moment. Saints of God are coming. Here's my question this morning. Is there anybody here today would say, Brother Jeff, I don't know Jesus Christ. I've never received Him as my Savior. I've never come to Him as He wears the crown of ministry to be the captain of my salvation. Listen to me now. I'm asking you an important question. Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you're saved? Would there be one here this morning would say, Brother Jeff, please pray for me. I don't know Jesus Christ as Savior today. Please pray for me. I'm not saved. Thank you, ma'am. Is there another? Preacher, I've never been saved. I've never been saved. Anybody? Would you be honest about it? Preacher, I've never been saved. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Is there another? Think about it. Preacher, I've never been saved. I've never been saved. At least two hands went up. At least two hands went up. Thank you for being honest. Now here's what we're going to do. Raising your hand don't save you. You got to come to the Lord. We ain't coming to you. You got to come to Him. He's done give you a word this morning. If you want to be saved, today could be the day. God showed you your need. You can know that this morning. Father, I'm asking You, Lord, right now, bring conviction upon sinners. May the saints of God this morning give You glory, Lord, and honor, and Lord, praise You for the worthiness that You, Lord, have and that You are. We bless You for everything You are. Thank You for wearing the crown of thorns. Thank You for wearing the crown, Lord, as the captain of our salvation, the high priest of our soul. You are our hope in this life. Thank You, Lord, one day we'll ride behind You as You wear the crown of many. Lord, bring in victory and triumph. We love You, Lord, this morning. Have Your will and way in Jesus' name. Begin singing, Sister Hannah. Here's what we're doing now. She's singing. If you need to come, you come. Step down here this morning. I'll meet you if you'll come. You raised your hand, you need to be saved. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, you know you need to be saved.
Going down,
I'll meet you right here at the front.
Last time.
I'll meet you right here, sir, ma'am.
When
I'll meet you right
you
here.
Called on His name.
He's reaching to you
he
this morning.
He reached down His nail pierced hand, and He lifted you. So remember where you were back then, and thank Him for where you are now. Give Him the glory,
Church,
for what He's done.
Hallelujah.
In your heart. When
on,
He took you
out
from sin and
strife,
and He gave a new
heart. Ma'am, we're praying for you, young lady. We're praying for you.
He took
sir,
your
we're praying for you.
Broken life.
Won't you come?
And He made you complete.
come this morning.
So take off those crowns of glory and cast them at the Savior's feet.
Sing that second verse, Miss Hannah.
Do you remember when with all your heart you long to serve Him, but you didn't think that Jesus,
oh, I wish you'd come, Jennifer,
could ever use someone like you?
Jesus wants
Since
to save
he
you.
He brought you out. So remember where you were.
He wore the crown of thorns to prove to
and
you
thank him for that
he loves
where you.
You
are now.
He let them plant it in his head.
Him the glory.
He let the blood flow that day.
For what he's done in your heart.
He let them beat him.
When he took you from sin and strife.
To the sin bear standing for you.
And he gave a
thorns in his brow. Eyeballs swollen, nearly
he
shut.
He took your breath.
Stripped down and
naked.
Black
and he
back,
made you
his back
complete.
Cloud open. Preacher,
so
why did he do it?
Because
he loves you.
Because
he loves you.
And cast them at the Savior.
Sing that first verse again, Sister Hannah. Some still praying.
Do you
Santa friend, you know you need to come.
Remember when you were drowning.
Just step out.
In
we'll
the
meet
sea
you. We'll meet you this morning. I'll meet you and God will meet you.
Last time when you called on his name, he reached down his
please
nail
come,
pierced hand, and he lifted you
glory.
Give him
hallelujah.
The glory.
Hallelujah. He's worthy.
For
he's
worthy. In your heart.
Yeah, you ought to be
he
in hell this
you
morning.
From sin and strife.
But we see Jesus.
And he gave a new start.
Hallelujah.
He took your breath.
Softly there, sister. You look this way. All hearts free this morning. Boy, we got a lot of glory to give to the Lord. Psalmist David said, give the glory due unto his name. In other words, you got a debt. If you're saved this morning, if you're saved, you owe God a debt. It's glory that's due to his name. Anybody get any bills in the mail this week? Come on now. Anybody? Am I the only one that gets bills? Anybody ever did you get a bill in the mail this week? You know what you find over there on that bill? It say due date. It say amount due. Date due. I don't know about you. Now, I'm a Christian, so I do the best I can to pay my bills. I'm a Christian. I do the best I can to pay my bills because I'm a Christian. Now, if you ain't a Christian, you probably don't do the best you can do. Amen. And if you don't do the best you can do, man, hallelujah.
you don't do the best you can do, you ain't much of a Christian. But when that says amount due and due date, they expect that thing to be turned in. There's been some times our back got up against the wall and we couldn't pay what we had to pay. And you know what they do? They send you another one. And it says something like this, amount past due 30 days. And 60 days. And 90 days. I've even seen on some of them bills, they got a little place over 120 days past due. You get out that far, you know what they say? We're turning this thing over collection. We're going to hound you and beat on you until you pay what's due. Hey, how far past due are you giving Him glory? He said, give Him the glory due unto His name. You owe God a debt today. Shame on you. Shame on me for not paying our debt. I appreciate you being in the house of the Lord this morning. Now we got some sinner folks going to be leaving. And they didn't get saved. Don't we want them to get saved? Don't we want them, church, to get saved? Man, I want them to get saved so bad, Brother Chris. I want them to get saved. Not for my glory, but for His. Because I know He can. I'm looking in the face of people out here. Some of y'all did some vile things in your lost life. God saved you and changed you. I just believe God can do it for anybody. We'll say today, if you're leaving lost, we're praying for you. We're trusting that you'll be leaving or thinking about it. We're praying for you. Ain't we praying for them, church? Good to have all these visitors here this morning.